kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I am fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy after talking fine about cow dandy. Assholes.
I By was the way, trying to
check
find
out
a
our
way-
Patreon for the cow asshole content of the week.
I was trying to find a way to cut that into my how you doing, but I couldn't. Not that fast.
I got your back.
I'm proud of you. As long as, you know... As long as you ain't clipping a cow's ear, then we're fine.
Yeah. So we should put it out there. This is our final episode of the year. We're going on break after this one. We're going to be taking a week or two off. Some much needed time off. I'm going to MAGFest again. You're just going to play The Sims for 3 weeks straight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And Devil May Cry. I'm going to squeak out just enough time for Devil May Cry 5.
That sounds like a fun time.
Yeah. I'm not
Sims
mad about
and
it.
Devil May Cry. Yes.
So it sounds like a perfect couple of weeks to me.
Yeah.
I said Devil May Cry. Okay. He didn't make fun of me again. It's
yeah,
fine.
He's always here to make fun of you. That's his job. That's why he's here.
Pretty much. And then you let him be a mod for it.
I could always invite him onto the call so he can make fun of you directly.
At least then I would be able to, like, quit back at that a little more quickly. I want to ask him to say the big black bug bled blue black blood.
Oh, jeez. No, we gotta keep this one quick. The last episode was almost 3 hours long. It was super, super fun, though. That was a great episode.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Our Christmas spectacular. I hope we can do that again next year. Because that was just really fun to get damn near everyone from the show all on together and just bullshit for 2 hours.
Yes.
I wish we could
do that more often. Maybe not all 9 of us at once, but I do wish that it's nice to have people to bounce off of.
Yeah, I'm hoping fingers
Other
crossed.
Other than you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Fuck you too.
You're here to bounce off of, but it helps when there's extra people too.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Joe.
I'm still hoping we could get George and Grant on together.
Ah, that would be fantastic.
That would be an absolute shit show. That would.
And then Purnell can go driving off in the middle of it again.
I can't believe live on the show. Oh, what? It's only $25 at Best Buy. Go, Purnell. Go get it now.
To
hear him go away and go quiet for a bit and then come back and he's on phone quality. And then he gets to the store and he's on their Wi-Fi. So his voice is nice and clear again. What I'm saying is if you didn't listen to our last episode, you should go listen to that episode. This one's going to suck compared to the last one.
It really is. We're phoning it in this time.
No, Purnell was phoning it in.
Yeah.
Literally. Oh, man. So Christmas just passed. How was Christmas for you?
Christmas was great. I had three very happy children. I had a minor breakdown on my part, but everything else went fine. Number three decided literally Christmas Eve that she had asked Santa for a Pikachu plushie after specifically telling me the week before that she didn't want any plushies for Christmas this year. She had enough plushies. And I was like, baby, you can't be springing on Santa at the last minute that you wanted a plushie when you said you didn't want a plushie. And she's like, that's okay. Santa knows everything. He knew what I really wanted in my heart. And I'm like, this motherfucker. I have to take her to the fire station because I can't do this.
So did you get a plushie?
You know, the terrible part was there. So I got to give a little bit of backstory for this to make more sense why I was panicking.
Okay.
Because in theory, the idea is, okay, fine, Walmart's still open. Go get her a fucking plushie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which seems all well and good. Except we only get paid once a month. And when there's holidays, we get paid a little earlier. And I was fully expecting our payment to hit on the 18th. Because that's what it did last month. And that wasn't even a holiday like Christmas. So I'm like, okay, fine. I should expect payday around either between the 18th and the 20th was what I was banking on. The 20th comes around and I bank I get my direct deposit on a Bluebird card. And if you're not aware, which nothing fucking covered it on the news, Bluebird cards and all American Express cards went down on the 20th.
Really?
Toast.
Wow.
So no direct deposits were coming through. They were like, oh, well, it could take up to 24 hours for those to get in. It took them about 12 to 13 hours just to fix whatever the fuck the problem was. And like the customer service line number was down. The website was down. If you took your card and tried to use it, it was declined. If you tried to add or remove money from it, it was declined. If you had money, you were fucked. And if you were waiting on money, you were extra fucked. And I was in the second category.
Damn.
So, like, I thought, okay, fine. Got fixed on Friday. I can count on Monday. Monday, I will get paid. Monday, I didn't get paid. Tuesday's Christmas Eve. I am sitting there all goddamn day, frantically refreshing my email, waiting for a direct deposit. And then number three springs that on me, and I shit you not, I went in the bedroom and I broke down. I started sobbing.
Oh,
I was like, what
man.
The fuck am I gonna do? I can't do this. And then by some miracle, when Walmart's gonna close at 4 and I live an hour away, I got paid at 1:33.
Damn. Cutting it close.
We don't have a vehicle of our own that's legal to drive right now. And so we legit paid a friend to take Deed to Walmart on Christmas Eve with an hour before closing. And there was one Detective Pikachu plushie. One.
Wow. And the person in front of you bought it. And then they died in the parking lot.
I kid you not, this kid sat there Christmas Eve night. Thankfully, by this point, I had the peace of mind that, yes, we have the Detective Pikachu. Everything is fine. She's going to get her plushie. It's wrapped up. It's in Santa paper. It's ready to go, right? This kid sat down Christmas Eve night, and she was like, she kept asking me how to spell random words. And I'm like, this is never fucking good. That means she's writing a letter, okay? She'll wing it for a lot of words. There's certain ones she just has to get right. So then, like, she says, she writes a letter to Santa. And it says, "Dear Santa, I tried really hard to be very good this year. And I hope you bring me a Detective Pikachu because I was never mean. But Aww. If you don't, I understand and love you anyway."
Aww.
And I saw that, like, if I had not got that Pikachu, do you know what the fuck? They'd have found me hanging from the tree in the morning. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't have a co-host anymore.
That would have been the only option.
Oh, my God.
That girl is so manipulative.
Good thing there was one left.
Oh. I don't know what I would have done if there hadn't been, but there was, and all was well, and she has slept with it last night and tonight. She loves it. She packs it around all over the place. She's happy as a pig in mud.
That's good. Well, all your kids are happy.
I was very good.
They finally got the Switch, huh?
They did. They finally got the Switch, and they got Pokemon Shield, thanks to Joe, which they were very, very excited about. Literally all I've heard for the last 24, 30 hours, ever how long it's been since they opened that shit, is nonstop talk about Pokemon. For kids who have never played a Pokemon game, they pick that shit up very fast. And it is all I have heard. absolutely. Just this evolves into that, and I caught this, and I caught that, and I'm like, I don't know what this shit is, but yay. Lucas is apparently a Pokemon fan. No, don't. Okay, maybe not. But yeah, I have learned so much about Pokemon that I didn't know was even possible to learn in 24 hours. So I will give them credit, though. They've been very good about taking turns. Like, one will play for an hour, and then they'll come in and say, hey, ask their sisters, do one of you want to play? And then if both of them say yes, because obviously, then the other one will say, that's okay, I'll take turn after you. And then, like, there hasn't been any arguing or anything, and I've apparently had miracle children.
Damn. Sharing is caring.
But they also, I think they're afraid if they don't do that, it's gone.
I swear to God, if you sons of bitches don't share that fucking Switch...
I didn't have to say it. It's implied. When mom puts all three names on a gift tag, you better fucking share it.
Have you played the Switch at all?
I haven't got the... Now, before I wrapped it all up, I took it out, pushed around on some buttons. I set up an account so that I could sit on my computer on the eShop. Here's the best part. They would be over on the couch, and I'd be sitting here on my computer in the middle of the goddamn living room on the eShop buying them games. No clue. So, because, like, there was a bunch of shit on sale for, like, 20 cents, right? Yeah,
Nintendo does not fuck around with their sales. Xbox could learn something from Nintendo sales.
And I'm like, yeah, I'd take that for 13 cents. Let's go.
13 cents? You know? Son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah. And before I know it, I've spent $8, but hey, they've got a fully loaded Switch with everything under the sun. That doesn't matter because all they've played is Pokemon. But Pokemans. They have it. If number one ever decides that she wants to play Sushi Tycoon, she's good.
Oh, come on. You bought that for yourself.
No. You know what's funny? I do like those games, though, where you like have people with random orders and you have to put the order together. But I don't have an urge to play the Switch beyond just I set it up and I'm like, well, here you go. There's no achievements.
We're gonna have to get you some horror games so you could review them on the Switch.
I do like the portability of it. It was nice to, like, I was sitting it up in the room and I didn't have to worry about, you know, getting caught because it had the screen and I could sit back there and do it. Instead of, like, having to try to bring it in here and set it up on a screen during the day and get it at night after they've gone to bed and have to worry about somebody walking through to go pee and being like, what's that? Because then I would have been pissed.
Carnage, if Smash Brothers got achievements, I would buy a Switch instantly. That doesn't shock me that Carnage would buy anything for achievements. I'm surprised you don't have a Switch already. Or Minecraft and Ori.
Yeah.
And Ori.
Oh, Ori's going to have achievements.
It has achievements. It's not going to have. It has them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I might have to get Ori again because I do love Ori.
Cuphead is supposed to get achievements, but they said that back when it launched and it still doesn't. So who the fuck knows if that's happening?
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk longer. I had to take a drink. Sorry.
No, that's all I got.
My mouth was dry.
Christmas was not nearly as exciting as yours. I got beef jerky and a $25 Xbox card.
Fared better than me. I got towels.
Towels are pretty good.
You know, the surprise thing, though, was like I was super excited because that was the first time I got a present from my mother-in-law in like 7 years, maybe more. And I was like, And even though she had put David and Nicole, she bought D his own gift. And then she gave me the towels, but on that she said it said David and Nicole. So D got his own, but I had to share mine with him. And I was like, God damn it. So it wasn't quite as glorious as it could have been. But yeah, I got some clearance towels. And I'm like, yeah, it's good. It's towels. Yay. But I don't ever get gifts from, you know, in-laws, so I was surprised. I did get one other gift, but that was not from any family members.
What'd you get?
I got a Chromebook.
Oh, yeah, from Roby.
Yeah, from Roby, for being a mod in Roby's channel.
That's a pretty goddamn awesome gift.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was thinking of like on Christmas from family, but that's kind of a different situation. But yeah, I got it from Roby. He sent me and his community manager both Chromebooks that he had. He had his Robitech logo printed as vinyls and added to the Chromebooks.
That's badass.
So yeah, it was super cool.
I got and another cool gift from my sister. Oh god. I got something cool from my sister. A couple of months ago, we went to go see the band Cold up in Scranton, our local area. And, she took some pictures of the show, and she framed photographs of two of the pictures from the show. One with the singer in the crowd with me right next to him, which was pretty cool to have him singing directly next to me. And then another picture of him just on stage, and the lighting is fantastic. I might have to get the image and just use that as the show image, because it was just such a cool picture.
That's
and
awesome.
She framed both of them, and I gotta get those set up in my room somewhere.
That is awesome. That is
yeah.
I like those personal gifts like that.
Yeah, that meant a lot.
That's a big deal.
That was really cool. Yeah. And then my dad, he sent Ashley and I $500 for Christmas.
Dang.
Can't go wrong with that.
No, how do I get adopted by him?
We think we got that much because my grandfather recently passed away, and we're guessing that he got a life insurance payout.
Oh, okay.
And he's just spreading the good cheer with his family.
Spreading it around. Yeah.
Yeah. So in return, we sent him a $50 movie gift card so he could go watch Cats.
Don't watch Cats.
I don't plan on it. In the card to us, he was like, hey, you could go watch Cats.
That makes me sad because I'm going to put my nerd hat on for a moment. I love Broadway shit. For like, you know, the theater nerd hat. The one that people don't realize that I have. But I'm a huge theater nerd. I took theater in high school. I did plays in as part of college. And like, if you told me that there was some kind of way to be involved in theater now, I'd be all over it.
Carnage, but if you want to watch Cats, just go to Joe's house.
Yeah. But I can't bring myself to be behind the Cats movie. I know the plot of Cats. I know that's throwing a lot of people off because the plot of Cats is batshit crazy. And I love it for it, but I don't know. It's like the moment I saw the trailer and I saw Taylor Swift and Rebel Wilson, I knew exactly what it was. And I was like, I don't need this. And that's terrible.
Yeah, I have so little interest in that. And I'm not a Broadway person to begin with.
Yeah.
But that my dad was like, either that or just go buy Crocs.
Yeah. See, I'm not, Ian said he's not a purist. I'm definitely not a purist. Like, I love the Rent movie. And I know a lot of purists are like, the Rent movie was terrible. And I'm like, no, fuck that. That was great. But there's just something about Cats that I can't put my finger on it, but I ain't a fan.
Can't put your arm up to your shoulder in it, but you
can't green sleeve it, but here we are.
Speaking of cows assholes, we should probably get to the news, huh?
Yeah, we probably should.
That segue was awesome, by the way.
That's the news. Speaking of dicks.
Speaking of cows assholes, we missed some news from last week. I didn't even realize this until the day after, but they announced Games with Gold last week.
It was super early.
I know. I didn't even realize
it. Because of the holiday,
it.
I assume.
I, like,
they
after
function
the
on
show,
government time, and yeah. Everything happens early because of holidays, and then everything shuts down for the rest of the year.
Yeah, like the day after the show, I was looking on Reddit, and it's like Games with Gold for January announced. I'm like, oh, when did that come out? And it's like one day ago. What the fuck? When did they announce this? Like, I look for news before the show specifically so I don't miss anything, and I somehow still miss this. They're not the greatest in the world, so maybe that's why I missed them.
Yeah.
But did you hear them?
I did, and I forgot. That's how much it meant to me.
Yeah, I can tell. Xbox One for the entire month of January is getting Styx Shards of Darkness.
Oh, so yeah.
Stealth game fans have that to look forward to.
Yeah. I didn't like the first Styx.
I hear the second is a lot better, but
maybe.
I haven't played either of them, really, so I don't know. But January 16th through February 15th is Batman the Telltale Series Complete Season 1.
Is that like The Walking Dead Michonne, where basically you can just set the controller down and let it get the achievements for you, or do you have to actually work at it?
No clue.
Carnage will know. He'll tell me. he'll have at least one glitched achievement
to look forward to.
In sticks, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Xbox 360 from January 1st through the 15th is getting Tekken 6. Not bad.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the 16th through the 31st, Lego Star Wars 2, the original trilogy. And we already got the complete saga. So why?
Yeah. I think it's because they're running thin.
They must be.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the 360 backward compatible games with gold stuff start to be phased out after the new year.
I hope not. I hope it sticks around at least until the Series X is out.
Maybe, but it was easy for them to push out new stuff every month when they were actively working on backward compatibility.
Yeah.
But now that team has been pushed to the Series X, they happen to go with what they have, and we're either going to start seeing a lot of duplicates, or they're just going to have to go, sorry guys, buy a new console.
There's 500 games that are part of the backward compatibility. Actually, isn't it close to 600 games part of the backward compatible program?
Really?
I mean, there's a lot of games available.
Mm.
So they could still find a few, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe. It's
just getting the licenses worked out.
Maybe.
Yeah. The other bit of news that I have is the Embracer Group, the owner of THQ Nordic, acquired Tarsier Studios for $10.5 million, and those are the devs of Little Nightmares.
That's nuts. That is nuts. I think it's a good buy on THQ Nordic's part, but
I'm surprised Bandai Namco didn't try acquiring them since they released Little Nightmares.
Yeah, it may be a good buy on THQ Nordic's part, but I'm surprised there weren't other people clamoring for them that could have outbid THQ.
No.
So I'll be curious to see what effect that has on that Little Nightmares 2.
I'm curious who owns the IP.
Yeah, that's a good question, too.
Does Bandai own the IP, or is that Tarsier's IP?
Oh.
SpongeBoo says THQ Nordic going all Disney and they're buying every studio out.
I mean, look, Microsoft's doing it too. So if they want to stay in the game, that's basically their only choice.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something that we saw where they had like 200 games in development from different developers?
Oh, I have no clue.
That's been months ago that I saw that number.
THQ Nordic.
But I remember. Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if it's close to that.
Yeah. It was something like 200 games were in development under the THQ Nordic banner.
And there's a lot of companies under the THQ Nordic banner. So
mm-hmm. There really are.
Deep Silver's under the THQ Nordic banner. And, Volition is part of that. So Saints Row is technically THQ Nordic, even though it'll release under Deep Silver. It's all the same family. So I don't know. But that's the news I got. Any news you want to talk about, or are we just going to speed run this bitch and jump into reviews?
Let's go. All right.
We got 9 games to talk about tonight. We were only going to have like 2, but then Digirati had to go and release 7 fucking games for Christmas. And we're reviewing them all on this episode. But before we get to the Digirati 7, the first game to talk about is called Natsuki Chronicles, developed and published by Cute Corporation, released December 25th on Xbox One for $42.49.
What a price.
I know. Shoot 'em up evolved to a new level. Dramatic side-scrolling shoot 'em up. You play as Natsuki and carry out the missions. Do you believe her past or future? Natsuki Chronicles is the latest shmup from Cute Corporation, who are known for their 360 shmups, Escados and Jinja Force, which sadly never made it to America. So I'm psyched to see that Natsuki made it over. By the way, if you're looking for Escados or Jinja Force, they are ridiculously expensive on eBay.
Wow.
Someone selling a 2-pack, both games, $300. Yeah. And they're not even backward compatible. So I don't think they're region free either. So I would have, if I wanted them, I would have to find a Japanese 360 as well. Fun, huh?
Wow. That's not good.
Yeah. I mentioned to him on Twitter, can we, maybe re-release those games on Xbox One? Cause I'd love to play them. But yeah, Natsuki Chronicles, it's a traditional shmup with Chronicles mode and an arcade mode. Arcade mode is what you'd expect. Go through about 10 stages or so, shooting the shit out of blah, 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 blah. This is going to be one of those episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, shooting everything in your path. There's weapons you could pick up to change your fire from like a standard spread shot to a laser shot, a wave shot. I enjoyed the wave shot because it was just like a big green boomerang going right down the middle of the screen, killing everything. It was awesome. There's also pickups for sub weapons that usually shoot behind you, ranging from standard fire to missiles and homing rings. Obviously, I enjoyed the homing rings because they home in on the enemies and you get to destroy everything. There's also a defense pickup that, Root Beer's My Jam just subbed. Hey, Root Beer's My Jam. Thank you for the sub.
Take your money.
Thank you so much. Always appreciated. I got an emote thanks to that, too. So,
nice.
Thank you for the emote. Anyway, there are also pickups for a special weapon, a defense pickup, that you hold the right trigger to activate. Most of the time, holding the trigger will result in these little defense pods heading to the front of the ship and absorbing shots. You could also have them set to either the vertical or behind you. Depends on what you want to go with. There's a lot of customization in the game. They're very handy when there's a shit ton of bullets coming at you and you don't think you could avoid them all. There's also defense pickups that change how the defense pods act by either giving you additional units or having them rotate around you, which is fun. So when you get four of them just rotating around you, automatically blocking shots, that's fun. In addition, you have three shield hits with regenerating shields, so if you take a shot, it's not the end of you. Shields do take a bit to regenerate, so you have to play fairly safely, but there's a good chance that you'll regenerate your shield and you'll have kind of a safety net for you in case you do get hit. If you lose all the shields and take one more hit, it's game over, though. You don't have multiple ships, it's just that's it. Thankfully, arcade mode, it allows you to have multiple credits that you can continue on. You start off with just one, but as you play the game more and get further in, you'll unlock more credits for arcade mode. Plus shmups are all about the replay value and chasing high scores, so you'll definitely be coming back playing it more anyway. So the fact that you can unlock more credits and just eventually work your way through all of arcade mode, it's, you know, keeps you coming back. Arcade mode has four difficulty settings: easy, normal, hard, and extreme for the masochists. I try to unextreme and they are not fucking around.
Wow.
It is tough. It is definitely a tough one. Easy is definitely manageable, but extreme, it's for the hardcore. Definitely for the hardcore. The game grades you on your performance and stages all the way up to an S++++ ranking. At least that's as high as I got. But when I did that, I took out all the enemies, all the formations, and I got hit one time. So I don't know if there's something above S++++ or not. It's a mystery to the world, I guess. You get points for taking out enemies, as is par for the course, but you also get bonus points based on taking out formations. And then again, at the end of a stage, based on your overall performance with enemies killed, formations destroyed, how many hits you take, and all that fun jazz. Again, replayability. So you can work on getting better rankings, especially in Chronicles mode. Chronicle mode is the real meat of the game here. It adds an overarching story to the game where Natsuki is a new pilot on the force, and she discovers what kind of a team she really signed up for in the hopes of making her friend proud. And Coltrane jumps on my lap. Hi.
Kitty.
Kitty. Can I help you? No, you're just going to stare at me? Okay. I don't want to reveal anything too much with the story. It's pretty cool story, revealed through cutscenes. Nothing really to write home about, but it's enough to keep you engaged in playing. The text is in English, thankfully, but the voiceovers are all Japanese, so you're going to have to read and pay attention to get the story. Pretty much all the story sections take place either before or after the stages or in their own dedicated cutscenes. There are a couple of times that they'll talk like right before a boss fight or right after a boss fight that there still might be an enemy or two on the screen that you'll have to pay attention to. But for the most part, they're really generous in only having story when you're able to pay attention to the story. I know we've had a couple of shmups that they only have story going during missions, and it's all Japanese with a written English text, and you can't pay attention to it because, you know, you're shooting things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Each of the levels in Chronicles mode has the same four difficulty levels to play, with easy and normal unlocked at the start and hard and extreme having to be unlocked by beating the previous difficulties. Beating stages will also earn you credit and XP to unlock various weapons, sub-weapons, and shields that you would normally just pick up in arcade mode. But this way, you're unlocking them based on what levels you're beating, based on your player level, because you earn XP for an overall player level. The more you play and the more harder difficulties you play, the more equipment you can unlock. There's stuff that's locked to, like, you have to complete X stage on this difficulty to unlock it. And then you use the credits, obviously, to buy the equipment that you want to equip, obviously. And doing so, as you play through the stages more and more, you develop XP specifically for that stage, that as you level that up, it gives you bonus shields to equip so you can take extra hits, which is definitely helpful. I have a minor nitpick with that, but I'll get to that in a minute. Before each stage, you'll have an option to buy new weapons that you've unlocked and equip them. There's a larger variety of options in the Chronicles mode that I noticed that allows for a lot of customizability in what you're shooting and how you're shooting said weapons. Achievements, pretty straightforward in this one. I know that's what our listeners care about the most, so you have to bring that up. The bulk of them are for playing through Chronicles mode and beating all the stages, but there's also a couple of unique ones for unlocking weapons, sub-weapons, special weapons, getting 500,000 credits in Chronicles mode, playing arcade mode 20 times. You could just grind that out by playing on extreme and dying really, really quickly. And then there's one for starting a Chronicles stage with the max number of EX shields, which requires a lot of grinding to get through and build up that XP enough to actually unlock the maximum number of shields. I don't know what the max is. I know there's, I believe, achievements for 1, 5, and then max. So I'm not sure how high it goes, but either way, it's going to take a lot of replaying stages to get through it. And it's, I'll get to the nitpicks in a little bit. Overall,
fairly we're supposed to be speedrunning.
I'm trying. Overall, it's a fairly doable list that shouldn't be bad for completion whores and shmup fans who like to get everything in the game. I'll get to the nitpicks. First off, the hitbox isn't the most apparent thing in the world. I tend to prefer shmups that have a very distinct hitbox on the screen. But since this isn't a bullet hell, it's not really about finding the most minor of spots to dodge through, unless you're playing on extreme, but that's your own damn fault. And honestly, I couldn't tell if the whole ship was the hitbox or if there was a smaller internal hitbox, but either way, don't get hit and you won't have to worry about that. I love the idea of earning those EX shields in stages to, you know, to have more shields as you replay stages, but they're unique to each difficulty as well. So if you play a bunch on easy and you unlock 5 shields on easy, those don't carry over to hard, which annoyed me.
Yeah.
You'd figure that if sense. I can understand that you don't get those shields from level to level. You have to earn your experience per level, but I really wish it would let you earn the experience per stage completely and not per difficulty. It leads to just way too much grinding, and it puts me off from wanting to try the hard and extreme levels, and I'll stick with easy and work on getting my shields there and get my achievement and move on.
Yeah.
Overall, the game has a weird price at $42.49, which seems pricey, but shmup fans should know that Japanese shoot 'em ups are generally on the more expensive side to begin with. So honestly, the only thing that bugs me about the price is how weird of a number it is. Like, if it was $39.99 or $44.99, I wouldn't bat an eye, because no matter what the price is, I think it's worth it. But just at 42-49. It's just so weird. It bugs me. Is that OCD? Is that what OCD is?
It is an obsessive thing. I don't know if it's flat out obsessive compulsive, but
yeah,
it's in that wheelhouse. And I get it because I can be the same way. I'm like, just make it either $40 or $45 and get it over with.
Yeah. On the bright side, it's not expensive as Ginger Force and Escados. So you don't have to pay $300 for this game. If they did bring those two over together in like a two pack for $60, hint, hint, I would totally buy that. But yeah, the main gist is I say this game is a buy it. I love it. I plan to see the Chronicles mode through to the end, and I really enjoyed my time with it. I'm glad Cute brought the game over to the US so I wouldn't have to find a way to buy Japanese yen at a premium so I could fucking log into the Japanese store and add currency to my account and then buy it and then switch back over to the English account like I did with La Mulana 2. It's just a pain in the ass buying stuff from foreign stores is what I'm saying. So yeah, it's a weird price, but I think it's worth it for shmup diehards. It's an easy, easy buy it. For people new to the genre, it's a good one to get started on, but I know people will be worried about the price, so cross your fingers for a sale, but I still think it's worth the cost. So again, buy it.
That's okay. I'm stuck on the whole idea of like, you went through converting money, USD to yen to buy a game. Like, I'm not surprised, but I'm stuck on it. Like, fucking Joe, that's so you.
I've imported a couple of games. I got Earth Wars before it came to America as, what the fuck was the American name? Earth Dawn or something like that? I figured they were never bringing the game to America because it took months for it to come here, and I gave up waiting for it, and I bought the import on the Japanese store, and then like 3 months later they announced an American release. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Did Ashley want to kill you for that?
I don't think she knows.
Oh geez.
I don't think she cares. She's like, here's your money, do what the fuck you want, whatever. Just leave me alone. Let me watch Netflix. Go away. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Debris, developed and published by Moon Eye Studios, released November 22nd on Xbox One for $12.99. An atmospheric first-person narrative adventure set in a surreal seascape locked between ice and rock. Following an incident, you and a friend must find power, defeat strange and deadly creatures, and decipher what mysterious forces are attempting to prevent your escape. Escape together or die alone. Cole, tell us about Debris.
So, for Debris, you play as Ryan, who is a videographer that has been hired to film a promotional ad for Atla, a company that has been doing some questionable tests on this debris that is underneath of Antarctica. It's melted away some of the ice shelves and caused this insane underwater tunnel system. And so he's underwater with two researchers, scientists for Atla. And it is an event occurs which leaves them trapped.
Speaking of debris, Awesome Prime dropped biddies while I wasn't paying attention. So dropping yeah. Debris, George.
Dropping bits!
Dropping debris!
Oh my god. So it's up to you and the other two that are with you to get out from underneath the ice and survive. Excuse me, I'm still horribly sick.
Deal with it.
Not as bad as I was, but it's still a thing. I forget where you said you heard it from, but apparently somebody had compared the game to Firewatch.
Yeah, the devs said that it's like Firewatch but with two people.
So, I don't know that they've played Firewatch.
I can get what they mean with the comparison, but there's definitely lot more going on than in Firewatch.
So, I want to say, too, that I think that the Firewatch reference might have gave away some of the narrative for me. Like, I'm fully committed to how I think this game ends, even though I have yet to see the ending, and I'll get to why. But like, I'm fully committed to what I think is going to be the end of this game. I don't think there's going to be a plot twist for me. I think I'm going to be like, well, yeah, that was given. That's going to be horrible when that happens. I would have compared the game more to like Soma or Narcosis. There is a more of a horror element to Debris than it really implies that it's going to have. I think there's just the aspect of you're trapped in the water and that shit's scary all on its own.
Yeah, people with thalassophobia are going to want to avoid this game.
I am terrified of water. I can't swim. I don't like the whole idea of being in the ocean. None of that is impressive to me. I don't want to deal with it. You throw in the cold too, and I'm like, fuck this shit. So obviously for divers to survive in the Arctic, they're in Antarctic, they need special suits that are going to keep them warm, keep them oxygenated, and all that good stuff. So you need power for that, which becomes your driving force in the game. Immediately when you take over control of Ryan, the dialogue begins between him and Sonya, and they make it very clear that they need power to survive, and everything else is fine beyond that. But how do you find power when you're trapped under an Arctic shelf in an ice tunnel in the ocean? The answer is that there is alien debris scattered around. It looks very much like lava. And it will be kind of litter the world in these little red glowing rocks. And as I said, one person plays as Ryan. You can play solo and just be you as Ryan. And then the Sonya character, for the sake of the playthrough, is a little robotic squid who is being powered by Sonya. She doesn't have enough power in her suit for both of you, so she sends the squid to keep your ass alive till you can get both of them out. The squid is the one that's responsible for collecting the debris, converting it to power. And then when you do that, you're given more time underwater that you're safe. So there's two timers in the bottom right hand of the HUD. One for Ryan, which tells you how much longer he will survive, and one for the squid, which will tell you how much longer they will survive. If that time balance is out of whack, then you can have the squid and Ryan come together, press A, and it will share power between the two of you and balance out, equalizes out your time so that you both will survive for the same amount of time. Because there's no point in one getting out and not the other. You can, like I said, you can play this single player. You can also play this co-op with a buddy. I played with Joe, which was a horrible idea because he got motion sick on me.
I can't help it.
He bitched out.
I did bitch out. I was getting the sweats. I knew if I continued for another couple stages, it was going to be a mess.
So there's two elements to that. When we played first, we played co-op, and then I played solo after that. The progress we made in co-op did not carry over to solo.
Yeah,
so I had to start all over again. But that was also important because it made me realize that when we played co-op, we missed a whole fucking level.
We did.
Right
away.
Was
it the second one?
It was the second level, yes. For whatever reason, while we were in co-op, it spawned us outside of the level. And we could see the level design of the cave system, but like from the top so that it was covered. And then like random points of lava. And I was like, that is so weird looking. And then we swam down thinking we needed to go down and into it,
and then it said you completed the level.
Yeah, we managed to swim right down into them. The problem with that is, like, that's all well and good and funny, but what I didn't realize is that as we were continuing, before Joe bitched out on me, I only had the weapon to shoot. There are red guardian fish that will come for your ass. They like light. You have light. They want to eat your light. And so I was able to shoot those fish. But I was using up 3 minutes of my life every time I shot one.
Yeah.
And fuck it if I missed. That was just 3 minutes wasted. But if we had been able to play that first level cooperatively properly, we would have known that I had a second weapon and it would have been available to me. It was not when we were playing. And I know because I remember I kept randomly trying to push buttons to see if I had to reload. And I kept pressing Y to see if maybe it was a reload option, which was not how it worked. It was before I had figured out that it was just shoot and lose your life. If we had played, I would have known and would have had Y available to switch over to flares. There were a few particularly aggressive fish, and I was so confused by them. I was like, why are they so aggressive? Why are they coming after us? The other ones are staying over there and letting me shoot them from afar. What the fuck is with these? If I had known about the flare, which I didn't find out till I played solo, I would have known I could have just shot the flare, and instead of chasing us, they would have chased it and ate it and died.
Son of a bitch.
It would have been so much easier. Like, there was a whole sequence where we were like, we are both getting fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't figure out what to do. I mean, I can only shoot so fast and you know, only swim and turn around. I had my sensitivity cranked as high as it would go. And I was still incredibly slow, to my standards anyway. A lot of people have been like, this is so fast. I'm getting motion sick.
Fuck you.
but I was like, man, I'm too slow and I can't aim at these when they're coming at me fast enough. And it was because I wasn't supposed to be able to. So that was the biggest downfall to that fucked up level. That and we missed the collectible. Nobody likes to miss collectibles.
Yeah.
But that was the biggest downfall of that, because it would have changed the way the rest of our time with the game had gone. If I hadn't, you know, missed out on having that weapon activated. So playing it solo was nice because it did give me the option to know that I wasn't just garbage at shooting the thing. I wasn't supposed to be able to shoot them that fast. The other element, though, is that if you are playing solo, obviously there's nobody controlling your squid. And so AI takes control of it and you play as Ryan anyway. Excuse me. So if nobody is playing as your squid, the AI takes control, and you can't talk to the AI the same way you can talk to your friend in a party. So you can't say, hey, bitch, we need to go this way, or please come over here with your light, bitch, which is how you play with friends, clearly.
Yeah. You shit talk me as much as possible.
I do it to everybody. I can't help myself. If I'm nice to you when we're playing a game, we're not friends. I'm trying to make an impression that isn't a friendly one. Now, if I call you bitch, make fun of your height, things like that, you know that you're in, you're good. So not being able to yell at the squid can make some things a little more difficult. At one point, while playing with Joe, now admittedly, I had the game set to easy mode. I had control. I was the host. And I set that shit to easy mode. Because it doesn't affect achievements, so get fucked. But while we were on easy mode, we had built up, collected enough of the debris so that we had like 90 minutes of life saved up each. And we were doing good. I could just shoot and not hit anything, and it was fine. But when I played alone, the robot would refuse to pick up any more debris if we both had 70 minutes. So if I wanted to try to, like, break it to go over that 70-minute mark, I'd have to sit there and fire a couple times so that we'd be uneven. And then it would immediately come over and equalize my power and then pick up the rest of the health. And I was like, that's kind of awful if you have to like cheese the AI into picking up the help that's available to you, because you know you're going to need that. There's never going to be a part in this game where you're like, oh, shit's fine. I can leave all the debris behind. I'm going to be totally okay with just a 45 minutes of survival time. No, fuck that. Shit happens and you're going to die if you're not careful. Pick that debris up. It is relatively shorter on the story end. You could probably complete this game, I'd say, in about 5 to 6 hours. Maybe quicker if you're with a good friend that you have really good communication with.
And doesn't get motion sick.
Doesn't get motion sick. Isn't going to bitch out on you. Aki's not wrong, but I always try to build her up, and then it's because that's Tower of Confidence, and I'm going to tell her to get fucked, and it's going to be all over. Yeah. that's how I roll. That is a thing that I do. I've been working on Studio like that for 14 years. That's going exactly to plan, too.
Oh, God.
but it's...
We're doing terrible at the speed run.
We are, but I had a lot to talk about with this game. Because I had to give it from the co-op and the solo
side.
So the other ones are going to go much quicker. But debris was decidedly more involved than I was expecting. And I thought that was a good experience. And I would rank it up there with games like Soma and Narcosis. And as far as like... the horror level versus it's not shit flying out. I lie. Those worms were scary.
Yeah.
That was terrifying the first time those jumped out at us. But, I think most of it's just, it's in your head. Like I get panicky looking at the timer and watching it go down. And every time I would shoot and miss, I was like, that's 3 minutes. We're fucked, you know? If we get to the end and I'm like 3 minutes away from being able to beat it and I die, I'm going to be so mad.
Well, overall, $13 on this one. What are you thinking?
At $13 with online co-op, I give it a buy it. I was a little disappointed by the whole it broke and we missed the first level. So it does need some patching, but at $13 with online, I'm good with it. I give it a buy. I thought it was great.
I agree, as long as you have someone to play it with.
Yeah, it's definitely far better with a friend.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it for Studa now. Make him complete it with me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's Digirati time. We got 7 Digirati games to talk about. The first one is Xenoraptor, developed by Peter Cleary in Stage Clear Studios, published by Digirati, released December 17th on PS4, 24th on Xbox One, 25th on Switch for $14.99. Xenoraptor is a frantic and frenzied twin-stick shooter, pitting ridiculously armed space dragons against an interstellar armada. Strip your defeated foes of their parts to assemble the ultimate weapon. From evasive teleporting and defensive mines to railguns, tractor beams, and mind control, Xenoraptor is bullet hell action with countless tactical possibilities. I'm going to get this out of my way. This is my favorite of the 7.
Yeah, mine too. If you have never, ever heard me give a review about a shmup, let me break it down for you. I fucking love them. Shmups, bullet hells, anything that just lets me fly around and go pee 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 pee. That's my shit. Throw it on a twin stick. Put some asteroids in space. I'm there.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm there. I'm good. I really enjoy that shit. So obviously, I really enjoyed Xenoraptor. Every time I say the name, I feel like I'm getting it wrong. I have no idea what it has to do with anything. Light on story. Don't care. Doesn't matter.
It's all about the action in this one.
You're hopping around from planet to planet to planet. There are all kinds of chaotic flying UFO space dudes coming at you. The ships all look like varying degrees of chainsaws or saw blades. And getting touched by them is more of a problem than getting shot. You're not as likely to get shot. As you get into the higher level, some of them will go pew pew at you with lasers, fire, all kinds of shit. Just don't be dumb. Don't get too close. And you're fine. It's
on
crazy.
The plus side, they'll run into each other and hurt each other or blow up each other.
Or they'll hit asteroids. It is. There was a later level where there were barrels floating all over space. And them motherfuckers are red. And do you know what a red barrel in a video game means?
Yes.
Boom. That's what that bitch moons. Phew. I would spin around a barrel with my little flying space dragon. That's what it is. I don't know why. I don't care why. It looks cool as balls. So I would fly around the barrel with my little space dragon. And then, like, all the stupid enemies would follow around me. And then I would use my speed boost to dash away. Shoot the barrel. Half the level was gone right there.
Kaboom.
It was so good. I was so tickled by it. And I actually loaded up a YouTube video because I was playing it and number one was like, what is this? This is cool. And I was like, it's kind of like Asteroids. And then I realized that this child had no basis for what Asteroids was. And so I loaded up YouTube and like the 1970s arcade video. And I was like, this, I played this as a kid. And she was like, why? And I was like, so that I could play this as an adult. She was like, fair. Because teenagers don't say a lot. And she was like, fair. And so she sat here and watched me for a while play Xenoraptor. And I was just into it. Like, I will say, if you're playing it for a long period of time, and you will, because it's great, the sound of the shooting, the minigun that you have, it gets old very quickly.
No.
I did turn the volume down to zero. And blasted some of my own music. This game goes fantastically with Devil Trigger from Devil May Cry. Beautiful. Beautiful combination. It's very simple, you know, work your way through the planets, blow up everybody. I had a lot of fun with it. I thought it was really unique. And I give it a definite buy it because it, too, was my favorite of the Digirati games.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you. This one is just a lot of fun, and it's addictive, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I can easily see myself getting lost for hours just sitting here. Pew, 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 pew.
And I'm sure Carnage will love it as well, because it's a twin stick.
Twin stick!
Yay! Next game is Stramium Immortally, developed by Anthony Case and Stage Clear Studios, published by Digirati. Released December 17th on PS4, 24th on Xbox One, 25th on Switch for $11.99. Bosses and beasties abound in this bizarre and vibrant roguelike shmup dungeon crawler hybrid. Armed with a jetpack and a smorgasbord of weapons and power-ups, Stramium Immortali pits your lone warrior against the forces of Queenie Empress. Agility, precision, and loads of loot are your only means of surviving the Cubicus. Cole, tell us about this one.
I thought that Stramium Immortali was going to be my favorite out of these. I was so like, oh, roguelite. Let's go. Binding of Isaac, Enter the Gungeon type of gameplay, right? It's so chaotic and so overwhelming
and weird
that I could not click with it. I tried. That doesn't mean the game is bad. It just means that it's for somebody other than me.
SpongeBob, that game was created by someone on an acid trip. I could see that.
There are so many vibrant colors. I didn't put it in my notes. I feel like if I remember correctly, it started off with scan lines and stuff, and I had to go in and turn that shit off.
Yeah.
I can't do that. But it is just a, yeah, see, Carnage said, yeah, the scan lines and stuff. You have to. You cannot see shit. You will die by everything. It is, as it is without any of the distortions, it is still hectic, blinding chaos.
And it is weird.
Hard and weird. Everything, like, there's this whole entire language with how everything is said in the game. It's very quirky, and I wanted to love it. And that's why I can't sit here and say it's bad. It's just that it's for somebody that isn't me. Because these are elements that in a lot of games, I'm like, this is great. But they're all thrown in to Stramium. They kind of feel a little, like, shoehorned. Because it's just everything, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they were like, take a little this, take a little that. You know that meme where it's like, I season food until I hear my ancestors whisper, stop, child? Nobody told this guy to stop. And that's probably the greatest problem with Stramium Immortality. It's got all the right building blocks. It's just maybe not put together optimally.
It's tough, too.
It is hard. It is hard. Not an easy game. I'd love to tell you, like, I'm relatively good at roguelike. I'm not, you know, tooting my own horn or anything here. Toot. But but I'm pretty solid. I can beat, well, I beat Mega Satan on Binding of Isaac with like a couple different characters, so I do fine. I didn't get anywhere in Stramium. I put time in. I'm like chugging away, like I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. If you like a good hardcore, visually strong, and quirky roguelite, yeah, it's a game for you. But for most people, it's gonna be, excuse me,
just be too weird.
Yeah, it's just a little much. So with that in mind, I think I would give it a little more of a hesitant try. It. I think you should if sitting here saying it's neon and scan lines. And you're like, fuck yeah, then hey, by all means, give it a go. Because it's not bad, it's just niche.
This is a game that would be great for people who are, like, really high.
Yeah, no, like, I could see somebody, like, running out of their house and going, like, the giant worms are coming for me. And
I said high, arrested. Not tripping balls.
You start off high, but you're tripping balls by the end.
You had to trip balls to make the game.
You're going to feel like you're tripping balls after you play it, too.
Yeah. Speaking of games that were most likely created by someone who's tripping balls, next game is called Tamashii, developed by Vinkinter in Stage Clear Studios, published by Digirati, released December 17th on PS4, 24th on Xbox, 25th on the Switch, this one for $11.99. Inspired by obscure Japanese games from the 90s and late 80s, Tamashii is a unique puzzle platformer set in a distorted world of striking horror and unsettling imagery. This game, like, Stramium is weird. This game is fucked up.
This is definitely takes inspiration from Japanese horror, Korean horror, full on demon weenie type of horror flying in your face. I can't get over it. It's the first fucking boss. There are other ones later that have demon weenies too, but that first one just haunts you. it's meant to, and it does a good job. Tamashii is, like, it's on a surface, it's just a 2D pixel art platformer. It's a very simple concept. You have some puzzles, you're able to clone yourself and drop your clone into random places to trip puzzles, and that's all well and good. It's very monochromatic. Sometimes you get a pop of color here or there. It's a lot of black and white and gray, though. Pixel art, very detailed. Again, it's got the curse of the scan lines and the CRT shaping and all that. You can turn it all off, hallelujah. If you're going to fight the demon weenie boss, maybe turn it back on to distort the weenie a little bit if there are kids around. But if you want full demon weenie, turn it all off. You can see it. It's all in the glory.
Go with the dong. You need the dong.
It definitely improves gameplay. Maybe a bit of a distraction. I probably had to spend a little extra time with that boss than I really wanted to, because I just kept going, there's a weenie! Just demon weenie, just there.
Have you never played Dante's Inferno?
I haven't, no. But I have heard there's demon weenie in that, too.
Oh, there's gigantic demon weenie in that one. You need to look up the video.
Yeah, it's been on my want to playlist for a long time, but I just have not had the chance to play it.
Two.
Yeah. I think one of the best things about Tamashii is that it's very, like, the moment you start playing it, you're like, holy shit, this is Asian horror. And then you find out the developer is Brazilian. And you're like, that's impressive. How many fucking Asian horror movies and horror games did he play to be able to knock it off that well? Because it is, if that's your thing, like, Tamashii's going to hit the nail on the head with a demon weenie. you're not going to be disappointed. you tell what really stood out to me about the game.
just a little.
If I had any complaints about it, it's that it's difficult to navigate. You have to go through the different temples and solve the puzzles. But there's not like a surefire way to know that you've knocked the temple out. And so I kept doing the damn demon weenie one before I found the other one and was like, oh, yeah, this is a different puzzle. I haven't done this one yet. Hallelujah. There's a lack of weenie here. Hallelujah or disappointment. You know, take your pick. But... so if I had to say anything about it, it would be nice if it was like a little easier to know, yes, I did this door, move on to another one.
Yeah.
Beyond that, solid try it. Again, it's for a very set niche. Not everybody's going to jump on that crazy, you know, Asian horror train. That appeals to a certain type of horror fan. And it's just not for everybody.
Yeah.
But it is well done. It's well executed. Plays well. Controlled surprisingly well. I didn't have a lot of hope for the controls. And I was very surprised. So, yeah. Solid try it.
I agree. And again, this is something that if you like weird, you're going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Speaking of demons, next game to talk about is called Demon Pit, developed by Psychic Software, Doomcube, and Stage Clear Studios. Published by Digirati, released again December 17th on PS4, 24th on Xbox One, 25th on the Switch for $9.99. Arise, Demon Hunter, it is time. The years you spent slaughtering demonkind in the mortal world did little to cleanse your soul. Your sins have been laid bare and you've been judged. You are damned for eternity. The pit awaits. This is your game.
Where the hell did all this story come from? A game where you're in one room that constantly changes with wave-based horror. Like, this has more narrative than some of the other shit we're going to review here in a minute. That's far more involved gameplay-wise. I'm saying, you're reading this off. I'm like, the fuck is this? This isn't what I experienced. I experienced flying skulls coming at me with anarchy symbols on their heads, pentagrams and shit that I had to shoot with a shotgun that magically teleported out of the ground. And that's the long and short of Demon Pit. If you want to get really into it, you could say that it does have an interesting grapple system where you can grapple around the arena and move a little more fast-paced rather than just trying to slowly sledge your way around. This is another one where the sensitivity was a little off for me. It starts off, Shiz was like, this is crazy high. And I'm sitting there going, don't you turn that down. I need to get a cough drop real quick. I'm sorry.
Oh, and, I can't believe you would do this.
I know, and I can't breathe. I've talked too much too fast.
Tough shit. You got more talking to do.
Oh, my God. I better get some more cough drops. Just like have seven of them in my mouth for the rest of these reviews. So it sounds like anyway. So you can grapple around and the sensitivity is a little off because I felt like I moved it up, but I didn't turn as fast as I needed to be able to turn, but the vertical sensitivity would just fly off the handle. So the vertical and horizontal sensitivities are not separate. And it was really hard to find a happy medium where I was like, I'm aiming properly. I think I did better than most. If I'm not mistaken, I made it around 12, 13, 14. I don't remember. Somewhere in that general area for waves. There's an achievement for getting to wave 60.
Yeah, good fucking luck.
Ain't nobody doing it. Look. First-person shooters, wave-based shooters. That's my shit. Bread and butter. Like, I would spend hundreds and hundreds of hours in Call of Duty running in circles shooting zombies. So, sticking me in an arena that constantly changes with different beast, you know, demon-type enemies that are skeletons and skulls and cranky dudes with chainsaws and machine guns. All of it should be right up my alley. One person, one cadet, that person's a nut. So kudos on them for their insanity. But the average person isn't going to be able to get all the way through it without some serious effort and skill in figuring out the happy place and the sensitivity bar, because I have yet to find it. You do take damage. Obviously, you have your health on screen, and you have your weapons. You can just pick weapons up if you don't have ammo or if you already have the weapon. I think there were 10 weapons total in the game, I think. And if you pick them up, you already have it. You just get the ammo from it. You will find yourself running out of ammo because it's about wave 7 when those fuckers start getting bullet spongy. I do think there's a lot of variety thrown in for a game that has you locked into one arena. Every wave, the arena changes some way. At one point, the floor just completely gives out, and there's walls in a center area that is safe, and then the rest of it is lava. Another time, there's lava, and there's floating platforms in the sky. There's an achievement for staying airbound for 60 seconds, a whole minute. So it's really creative the way they've laid this arena out. Sometimes there's lasers. Sometimes there's just the shotgun or the angry chainsaw guys. But for actually getting through it, it's far more difficult than I was expecting.
Yeah,
especially for somebody who plays a lot of first person shooters.
Yeah, I got my shit wrecked on this one.
I remember you messaged me and you were like, I made it to level 2 or wave 2.
No, I made it to like 4 like, or 5.
So proud. So proud of you. So yeah, you were like, I can't wait to see how long it takes you to 1K it. I was like, no. I'm good.
I thought you would do it. You let me down.
I didn't expect it to be that difficult. I really did. Like, I felt like I should have gone in there like Hercules style, like pounding on my chestnuts.
Yeah.
No. Well, no.
For $10, what do you think of Demon Pit?
Again, it's a little nichey. It's going to fall into people who like if you want a bastard love child between like Doom and Ziggurat, but without the roguelite element, and it's just like stuck in one room, then you would be into Demon Pit. But just go into it knowing that the average person is not going to complete that game.
Yeah. No, well, like, we got more demons on. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, if you're finally seeing like 10 waves, go for it.
Well, we got more demons on the way with Demons with Shotguns, developed by Mineshaft Games and Stage Clear Studios, published by Digirati. This one released December 17th on PS4, 24th on Xbox One for $12.99. The ultimate couch fragger jib fest, armed with a powerful boomstick and bullet deflecting shield, up to 4 players wage unholy war against each other as they compete for souls in 9 different local multiplayer game modes, plus wave mode for 1 to 2 players included across 4 realms and 40 arenas. This is demonic local multiplayer action at its bloodiest. Cole, you have local multiplayer options, so... What did the family think of this one?
Well, I only have one that's old enough to play a game like this. Because let me be clear, there's an angel smoking a cigarette as one of your character options. There are a ton of different characters. If the characters make any difference in how you play, I couldn't find it. It was very minor. But I don't think they had any effect. I think it was a skin type of issue. This is so stupid simple for a game that's why it works, if that makes sense. You have people in a room. We played it more cooperatively than versus. So people in a room shoot whoever is dumb enough to get in your line of sight, whether it be an enemy or your daughter, your 15-year-old who picked up a controller and thought she was going to help you review a game. bam! Mom! That is impossible. Yeah, like sometimes I think she grounds me because I am a horrible person to play co-op and versus against. I have no shame. I may have brought you into this world, but in a video game, I will take you out. which is fun. And then you got to wake her up at 5 a.m. It's stupid simple because it's just, you know, jump in, shoot whatever moves, get the fuck out. You do have grenades. It's holy water. That's amusing. We did a lot of way-based combat where, you know, like Demon Pit, clear everybody out, and then another wave of enemies would pop up. There were a couple of things that got me, though. You have a shield, you have your shotgun, because demons with shotguns, and you have your holy water that you can throw. But if you're dumb like me and get yourself trapped in a corner, and you're using your shield in the corner, which is a headstone, by the way, then if an enemy gets, like, right up on you, because some of them will just get close to you and attack you, and they don't shoot or anything like that. If you're unfortunate enough for that to happen, where, like, a dog is on you and it's barking at you, the moment you move your shield to shoot them, you're dead. The moment that you move your shield to throw something at them, you're dead. They never back away. They never have, like, a give up button. That you're just perpetually stuck there forever with the shield. And there's nothing you can do but just accept your defeat. That kind of defeats the purpose of a shield. This would mostly be my problem with, like, if I was the only one alive and I would get backed into a corner and I'd think, oh, wait, I have a shield. I'm fine. And I'd put shield and then I was like, okay, but how am I going to get out of this?
No.
And you can't because you die. Other than that, it's a lot of frantic action, super fast pace. I love all the cast of characters. They're all quirky and weird and kind of morbid.
Yeah, I like the card system in the game, too. All the different power-ups are like tarot cards and fun stuff cards, like that.
Did you have a better luck at understanding them? Because to me, I was just like, oh, a card, and I'd grab it no matter what would happen, and then I'd realize that I died to something dumb, and it was me picking up a card.
I didn't really...
Not all the cards are good.
The skull ones, I figured, were the bad ones, so I tried to avoid those, obviously. Yeah. Because one of those, I just picked it up and immediately died.
There was one with a moon that fucked me, and I don't even know what it was or what it did. I think that it's a cool mechanic, and it changes up the game, but for the laugh of me, I have no idea what was what. I was like, card, and I'd risk it, because fuck it, why not? But that was really the only particular issue, that and getting, like, trapped in corners. Were the only issues that I would really have.
I thought wave mode was just obscenely hard. At least single player, like, everything kills you instantly. And it was just ridiculously tough for me to... Yeah, I got to be better at shields, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That was the first thing I had to learn. Because if you can run out of ammo. And the first thing, like, I had figured out was, holy shit, if I reflect it from the shield, it kills them and I save bullets. And so that became, like, a really important notion to it, was figure out how to kill as much as possible without wasting ammo.
Yeah.
But there's some things that you just don't have a choice, because fuck those dogs.
Well, $13 on demons with shotguns, what do you think?
I think there's a lot there. If you have people to play with, that's great. I do wish it had online. I always wish it has online. I only like playing with my kids in a moderate degree. And so I'd rather play with my online friends because I can cuss at them. So, but for $13, I do give it a very recommended try it. But it would be nice if there were a few things that were better explained or just smoothed out.
Yeah. Bots would have been nice, too.
Bots are always helpful. Well, except for when they're not. But they're mostly helpful.
Yeah.
As soon as I said that, I started thinking of all the times I've been like, fuck bots, because they were garbage. They have their moments.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
All right, next game is Odalis, The Dark Call, developed by Joymasher and Click Team, published by Digirati, released December 24th on Xbox for $11.99. The old gods have forgotten this land. Odalis is an exploration action game inspired by Ghosts and Goblins, Demon's Crest, and Castlevania. You play as Haggis, a battle-weary warrior who must wield his sword once more to rescue his son from darkness. Your character's named Haggis. Buy it. That's my review. What do you have to say?
Haggis has had some really shit luck. Like, his luck is garbage. His kid gets abducted by the darkness. His village gets burned down. Like, shit just doesn't go this guy's way. And it's up to you to help him get some revenge. And you're going to do it with axes and spears and torches. And that's fantastic. And I've mentioned it a million times before on the show. I fucking loved Ghosts and Goblins. So anything that's inspired by Ghosts and Goblins, I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. I'm down. Gimme. Especially if it's like Odalis and not as hard as Ghosts and Goblins. I was so surprised. I was like, this is stupid easy. I'm a monster. Because I think I spent literally fucking years just beating the first few levels of Ghosts and Goblins. That shit was hard. And so I was a little nervous, and I was like, oh, this is going to be hard, because that's what it's based on. No, it's fine. I've seen a lot of people compare it to Castlevania. I haven't played Castlevania. My experience with Castlevania was Bloodstained. So I can't vouch for how close to it is to that, but I would figured I should mention it in case that is a thing that other people are like.
Yeah, it's similar to the early Castlevanias.
But it is surprisingly easy. The only complaint that I had is that some of the bosses, their attacks are stupid erratic. And so it's kind of hard to like learn their pattern. And then when you don't, like, you feel like you've got the pattern down, you feel like you're going to go in there and be fine, and then it does something stupid random, and you die, and you're like, well, that was cheap. That sucked. But it's so weird to have those moments with the bosses be so out of whack and a little difficult because they are erratic, whereas the rest of the game's like, nah, you're fine, go on, throw an axe, you're good.
Yeah.
That was my only gripe, was like, maybe if the bosses were a little more easy to learn the patterns of. Beyond that, hey, I thought it was a great time. Had a good time with it. Really enjoyed it. I like anything that lets me put it on easy mode and just like throw axes at people. So here we are, and I give it, I'm probably going to say, this is probably going to be my a buy it, or at least closest to a buy it, compared to, I mean, Xenoraptor Run, everything. Nothing was going to hold up to Xenoraptors for me.
Yeah, Xenoraptor's week. Just fantastic.
I'm sorry. But I would say that Odalis is probably the closest.
All right, we got one final game to talk about. Final game of the year.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Final game of the year.
Yes.
Goes to Onikin, developed by Joymasher and Click Team, published by Digirati, released December 24th on Xbox for $9.99. In a post-apocalyptic future controlled by a sinister corporation, ninja mercenary Zaku is the last hope for humanity. Inspired by the demanding gameplay of 8-bit action platformers, Onikin puts your agility and swordplay against a gauntlet of enemies, traps, and challenging bosses. If Odalis is Castlevania and Ghosts and Goblins, this is Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
I didn't play Ninja Gaiden, but I remember seeing it a lot. David played it, and I was like, I recognize this. It does kind of feel like the narrative is just kind of vague, and there is a thinly veiled excuse to let you hack and slash your way through 6 levels. Like, nobody gives a fuck why we're allowed to be a mercenary ninja chopping at people. It's just where we are. Let's go.
Let's do it.
And yeah, it's just like sometimes when a game is playing homage to a vintage game, it adopts that vague narrative for why we're here. And Onikin kind of does that, which is fine, because you just want to go in there and be like, chop, chop. and you're fine with that. And for as far as that goes, it chop-chops very well. You take enough of an ass whooping, and you get to go into berserk mode, and then you get to really chop-chop your way through. That said, again, it's paying, you know, paying homage to vintage games, and therefore, it doesn't split any hairs. It is fucking hard, and it is not sorry about it, and it will not be as forgiving. Like, as Odalis was like, Ghosts and Goblins, but easy. Anakin is like, we're like Ninja Gaiden, but fuck you.
Well, that is Ninja Gaiden, so.
That is also true. But, like, we're going to crank the fuck you to 12. Get fucked twice.
Get really fucked.
Yeah, so it is hard, and it does not pull any punches. So that is something to definitely take into consideration. If you played Ninja Gaiden and you're like, this is hard and I don't like it, then don't touch Onikin. Because you are extra screwed then. But if you want that challenge and you want that classic retro gameplay, then yeah, go for it.
$10, your verdict?
Very recommend to try it. But again, it's niche-y. And that's kind of the hard part with all of these, and why they've kind of stuck at that higher end of try it, is because they're niche. And it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, everybody's going to like this, but no, there are definitely people who are going to be like, ah, why did you say that was a buy it? That was horrible. I couldn't do anything. Well.
Yeah, like each of these games serves a different purpose. I think Odalis and Onikin are the closest to like a couple, mainly because they're developed by the same team.
Yeah.
But everything else is like its own unique genre and its own distinct flavor. I think out of the seven games, it was a really, really solid lineup of bizarre, fun, action, excitement. Yeah. They just covered all the bases. And I think out of the seven games, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah. I think I remember one of the first interviews we did with Digirati, like way back when I was still locked in the bathroom on a cell phone. And I remember asking how they chose the games that they took under their wing to publish. And they said, we look for the crazy out of this world shit that nobody else would touch. And if ever you wanted proof that that was true, these seven releases, playing them all back to back like this, is proof positive. That is exactly what they do.
Yep.
They look for the weird, the niche, the kind of games that wouldn't normally get a second glance from other publishers, and they give them a shot. And I find that incredibly impressive. There wasn't a single one of these games where I was like, this is broken garbage. And I've played broken garbage and said that on the show before.
Yeah.
Never at any point where I was like, this is broken, it's unplayable. Yeah, some are hard. Some were definitely not for me. Some were more attuned to my taste. But they literally like ran the gamut of possible game combination types. And even with as weird and crazy as some of them were, I still managed to find one that I'm going to be like, fuck yeah, I'm going to play this while I don't have to.
Well, out of everything you reviewed this week, what's your pick of the week?
Xenoraptor for solo play, but I really want to finish co-oping with somebody who won't bitch out on me. Debris. So I had to split the hairs there. But
if you're watching stream, I have a message for you. You're number one.
Can we get you a Dramamine band? Like C bands?
I just need a fan to put in front of me.
Yeah. Like when I get car sick in the car, I just roll down the window and stick my fingers out the window. Maybe you could like, I mean, you were playing as a squid anyway, so like sit with your hand out the window and like wiggle your fingers a little bit. Because you didn't have a lot of control options anyway. We'd be fine.
Well, we could go back to it and play some more. I can't do it all in one stretch. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I think I made it pretty long for what we played.
Realistically, yeah. When I went back and was replaying solo, I was like, did it okay.
I did good. My pick of the week, yeah. I'm giving Natsuki Chronicles. I think the game's fantastic. It is on the pricier side, but again, Japanese shmups are always on the pricey side. So $40 on this one. I have no qualms with the price, and it's fantastic. I really, really hope that Cute does well with this game and that they bring their other games over.
Yeah, that's your type of shit. That's,
yeah, buddy.
I'm not surprised by that at all. That's where you're like, you know, your heart starts racing and you're like, I got to have that in my life, but it's a game.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. That is it for this year. We're going on hiatus for a couple of weeks, probably a week, 2 weeks. We'll see how things are going after MAGFest and if we got games coming in, what's going on. I'm sure once January rolls around, shit's going to start picking up again. So,
yep.
When is MAGFest? MAGFest is next week. In 1 week's time, I will be at MAGFest.
The third? Second?
Second through the fifth.
Are you going to do a whole like week of recovery or are you just going to come back and dive back in?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if I get the itch, we'll be back on the 9th. Otherwise, we'll be back the week after. We'll find out.
All right. Yeah. Watch
Maybe
Twitter.
I'll flip a coin and yeah, just keep up to date with us on Twitter, on YouTube. Again, we're on Spotify. We're on Google Play. We're on iTunes. You could find us everywhere. Just keep an eye out for when our episodes start rolling again. It's been a great time. It has been another great year, and I am looking forward to 2020.
Carnage said we're on Tinder.
Yeah, that smells on Tinder.
Boy, do we got some explaining to do.
A lot of dick pics, and they're not mine, so go figure.
How do you think I get references for the coloring book?
Music. What do you say? We end the year with some Stemmage. We play him the most. We might as well finish the year with him.
Think the way it's got to go. Think
it's got to be
the
that way.
It's got to go. Yeah.
Right, Grant.
What's that you said? What? That's what I thought.